Chapter 7. Love Every Part. I'm back on my therapist's sofa staring at the ceiling. As I listen to the sound of the window unit air conditioner, the honking of horns on Fifth Avenue, and the noise machine in the hallway, I stare at her diplomas on the wall and the bookshelf. I wonder if she's read all those books. I wonder which books are her favorite. My mind wanders, so I don't have to face the fact that I'm there to face myself. Ugh, I dread these sessions. Even now, after all the work I've done, there are still more layers of the onion to peel back. Work to do. Whenever my therapist tries to go deeper, my body freezes, my shoulders slouch, and I feel nothing. The moment she asks me about my feelings, I can no longer feel anything. I dissociate. When I check out, she checks in more. She asks me a series of questions that make me want to crawl out of my skin. She suggests that there's a protector part of me that's masking deeper feelings. She asks if the protector can step aside and whether I know anything about the part of me that I'm protecting. What part of you needs to feel safe in this moment? I don't know who the F the protector is protecting, and I definitely don't know the part of me that needs to feel safe. No one has ever asked me that question. Safety isn't a feeling I've contemplated. So I go numb. Often I stay there for most of the session. For some reason, this day was different. She gently kept at it, continuing to ask me how young the part of me was that I was now trying to protect. I kept resisting. She remained patient, but wouldn't let me change the subject. Her persistence made me uncomfortable enough to get out of my numbness. I felt something. I was pissed off. Noticing my feelings, I released some resistance. Upon witnessing my energetic shift, she asked me to check in with how I was feeling in my body. I allowed myself to feel frustration and discomfort. I noticed how my body reacted to that feeling. My shoulders slouched. My jaw tightened. The lower half of my body went numb. I crossed my arms, and my head tilted to the side. Witnessing myself in this position revealed the hidden part. The little girl I'd been protecting. I'm 10, and I'm scared. I feel shame. I feel anger. I don't want to talk about it. I started to speak in a childlike tone. The protector part of me had stepped aside to give voice to the little girl. The dialogue with my 10-year-old self didn't last long before I checked out again. The moment my therapist acknowledged the little girl, she didn't want to be seen. So there I was again, numb, yawning, and avoiding the shame. My therapist asked me why it felt so unbearable to acknowledge the little girl. I told her that I never wanted anyone to see her. It didn't feel safe. My therapist explained that I had never felt safe enough to let the protector step aside. The miracle that day was that for even a moment, I was able to give voice to the scared and ashamed 10-year-old girl. I was able to touch into the child part of myself that had been hiding for so long. This was the beginning of a newfound awareness that would change my perception of myself forever. A new self-perception. I didn't realize it at the time, but my therapist was practicing internal family systems, IFS therapy, created by Richard Schwartz, PhD. This is an approach to psychotherapy that works under the premise that we have multiple parts of who we are that show up at different times. Here's a simplified explanation. Perhaps you notice a critical part of yourself show up when you make a mistake at work, or an outraged, aggressive part of yourself freak out whenever you're frustrated with your spouse. It's likely that throughout your life you've even referred to these different parts without realizing it, saying something like, "Whenever someone tells me I'm wrong, there's a part of me that becomes outraged and fights back." While you may have referred to these behaviors as different parts, it's unlikely that you ever perceived them as distinct personalities. It's more likely that you thought of these parts as emotions or as justified reactions to outside events. In IFS therapy, the concept is that our big reactions and emotions are actually parts of us that show up to protect us from feeling deeper, wounded parts, often younger, unresolved parts. In a conversation with a friend about IFS, I started to explain that we all have these different parts of ourselves. No, we don't. We are one complex personality, she said. That's a common response. This concept may seem like a lot to take in at first. It isn't what we've been taught to believe about ourselves, so it can seem wrong to our logical mind. I can imagine that the idea of having different parts of yourself can be challenging, so I'm going to do my best to demystify it for you because IFS has been one of the most transformational elements of my personal growth and trauma recovery. Let's start by taking a look back at the trigger exercise from Chapter 2 and review the patterns in what triggers you and how you respond. Here was the example I shared in that chapter. Trigger, being out of control. Feeling, I feel terrified. My stomach gets tight. My jaw clenches. Anxiety takes over. How I run from the feeling. I try to control other people and my surroundings. I overwork to the point of exhaustion in order to get back into a place of feeling in control. Trigger, when someone tells me to shush. Feeling, I feel silently outraged and act defensive. How I run from the feeling. I defensively push back on the other person, trying to figure out why they'd shut me down. Now, instead of seeing your feelings and the way you react to them as behaviors, what if you consider them to be individual parts of who you are? For instance, what if I saw my scared feeling as a young part of me that feels threatened? And what if I saw the way I run from that feeling as a protective part of me that withdraws to stay safe? Take a moment to contemplate that the ways you run from and manage your triggers are likely attempting to protect you from experiencing deeper feelings that were developed at a very young age. Those deeper feelings in IFS are called exiled parts. These wounded child parts can be so unresolved and therefore so deeply painful that we will do anything we can to protect ourselves from facing them. That's where your protector parts come to manage those unresolved feelings. Working tirelessly to keep you from having to face those deep wounds, the protector parts put up a strong defense. We all have exiles, often scared inner children, and protectors, the way we react when triggered in effort to manage the exiled feelings. For example, an exiled part may be based on a childhood experience of feeling abandoned. When the fear of abandonment is triggered, the protector part will withdraw love to temporarily secure a sense of control and therefore safety. The exiled parts are often thought of as the wounded child parts that at some point experienced some serious form of adversity. Unresolved instances of substantial adversity can result in fear, anxiety, helplessness, rage, or a sense of being alone, unlovable, and inadequate. Depending on your situation, the adverse moments from your past may be hidden from your consciousness, like mine were for me. Conversely, exiled parts can form at any age following a traumatic experience. You may not even be aware of these uncomfortable exiles, like in Chapter 5, when I shared that I didn't even know I had shame. That shameful part of me that was hiding was an exiled, wounded child that had been well hidden from my conscience. It takes time and courage and therapy to identify these exiled parts. Working with these wounded exiles is a very gentle process that requires the support of a trained IFS practitioner, found at deargabby.com/happyresources. So it won't be addressed directly in this book. For now, all I ask is that you acknowledge the idea that when you're triggered, it's likely activating an unresolved, burdened, wounded part of yourself. At this moment, that part is safe, and there is nothing we need to do with it. The protector parts are the parts of us that show up to manage the exiles and keep them under control so we don't have to face the impermissible feelings of our exiled past. Extreme attachment injury with a primary caregiver or other childhood trauma can make us lose trust in others. Therefore, the protector parts do whatever they can to keep the exiled parts safe from those impermissible feelings. protectors established the unhealthy role of parenting and caring for the exiled parts. As they grow older, child exiled parts rely on the protectors to keep them safe. The unconscious mind is terrified by the exiled parts and fears that they could be triggered at any moment into anger, panic, shame, anxiety, depression, worthlessness, and even grief. Therefore, the protectors are always on standby, ready to keep the unconscious triggers from being revealed. As seen in the recap from Chapter 2, protector parts are often associated with the ways we run or fight back. For instance, when someone puts you down, you get triggered into feelings of inadequacy. The way you respond to the put-down with rage and defensiveness is a protector part trying to save you from facing the deep-rooted feeling of shame or inadequacy. Your protector parts can present as rageful outbursts, controlling behavior, obsessive thoughts, judgment, and addictive patterns that can lead to drug, alcohol, and other kinds of abuse. In a recent conversation with a young woman I mentor, she opened up to me about her binge eating. This wise young woman knew exactly why she binged. "I eat so I don't have to feel the shit from my childhood," she said, identifying that the part of her that binged was there to protect her from an exiled child self. The protectors are always on high alert, warding off unwanted emotions. You may have always believed these were justified reactions, but from an IFS perspective, they are parts of you that showed up for you at a young age. As you listen to this, you may be able to identify one or more of your protector parts. Maybe you're well aware of the outraged part of you that shows up around authority figures, or the part of you that fights back any time you feel judged. Or like the young woman I mentor, you may have a protector that uses addictive patterns like binging or drinking to put out the fire of big feelings like grief or depression. Even listening to this concept of exiles can trigger a protector. You may notice a protector part show up right now. Maybe you're yawning and feeling numb. Or maybe you're annoyed by this chapter and want to blame me for making you feel uncomfortable. It's totally understandable that your protectors would show up. They come swooping in the moment an exiled part feels triggered. It is all reflective of our inability to connect to our deeper emotions, and instead we manage the feelings with defensive and reactive behavior. My journey with IFS. My therapist and I worked together to explore my parts and even name them. For instance, I named one of my protectors Knives Out. This protector showed up anytime someone spoke to me with a judgmental tone. The moment I feel judged, Knives Out immediately goes on the defensive. Whereas the controller shows up to protect me from feeling the frenzy of emotions that rise up when I feel out of control. Both of these parts have worked tirelessly to protect an exiled part I call Little Gabby, the abused little girl who felt worthless and alone. In the early days of the pandemic, my protectors were working overtime to keep the exiles at bay. I tried to control every detail of what was going on. In retrospect, I can also see that my activated protector parts were triggering protectors in my team. This was not a healthy dynamic. Both Knives Out and the controller proved to be trouble at work. I brought up the issue with my therapist and told her how I was acting at work. She said, "It sounds like your 10-year-old protector is showing up to try to help you feel safe when you're out of control. You probably don't want her to sneak in and try to run your business." Being able to laugh and honor my 10-year-old protector was a miracle. Instead of being shunned, she needed to be recognized. Acknowledging my 10-year-old and her triggers was a major act of self-care and recovery. By fully acknowledging my protector parts, I could more easily notice when they showed up. Then I was able to help them calm down and step back in the moment, thereby helping them be less extreme and activated. Your undamaged self. In therapy sessions when he was first exploring the idea of parts, Schwartz found that when his patients' parts felt safe and were allowed to relax, the patients would spontaneously experience confidence, openness, and compassion. This loving and compassionate adult part is what Schwartz then referred to as the self with a capital S. In IFS, the self represents the undamaged, resourced, enlightened essence of who we are. Self is compassionate, wise, loving, and accepting of all of our parts, almost like a healthy parental figure. This self knows how to take care of our exiles and protector parts. The qualities of self are described by 8 C words: calmness, clarity, confidence, curiosity, compassion, connectedness, creativity, and courage. The goal of IFS is to access and live from self, embodying the qualities of the 8 C's. Think of your undamaged resource self as who you are at your best, unstressed, at peace, confident, and compassionate. If you're a parent, the self is reflective of the part of you that can compassionately care for and love your child when they're in moments of distress. For instance, I recently had a conversation with my friend about something that was pissing him off at work. I asked him a simple question. If your son was dealing with this issue, what would you tell him? Without hesitation, he said, "Don't worry, son, Daddy's got this." This response was his resourced self speaking up. Can you say the same thing to yourself right now? Can you tell the triggered part of you that you're going to take care of him? I replied. At the moment, the concept of self set in for my friend. He agreed to speak to and care for himself the same way he would effortlessly show up for his son. He could see that he had a resourced self that could show up to care for his triggered child parts and their protectors. Even if you're not a parent, think about how you'd care for a loved one or show up for a friend. When you become conscious of what it feels like to be in the energy of self, you can rely on self to be a supportive leader for the exiles and protectors, bringing all the parts into harmony. We all have a confident, compassionate self at the core of who we are, but we may have lost touch with it due to the many painful parts that take our energy and focus. Without a connection to self, a traumatized person can become overly burdened by their protector's actions. IFS therapy aims to help you learn to rely on self to restore mental balance. When the self steps up to lead, the other parts are able to calm down. Establishing connection and access to your resourced self is the most empowering way to move through conflicts and honor big emotions. It's the most powerful way to bring your child parts back to safety. Establishing a faithful connection to self did not come overnight for me. I continue to spend therapy sessions avoiding exiled little Gabby and all the shame she carried. My protector parts were terrified of what would happen if I acknowledged her even slightly. The protectors managed the shame and the possibility of remembering more about the trauma. I hid these fragmented parts of myself in an effort to stay safe, although hiding these parts provided a false sense of safety. The protector parts were actually keeping me stuck in a perpetual cycle of feeling unsafe because I had to work really hard to hold down the big emotions of the exiles. But through my therapy, instead of shunning the exiled parts, I had become more connected with my resource self to help relieve my protectors from their extreme roles. The goal was to allow my resourced self to become a parent-like figure that I could rely on. It was a tough concept for me to conceptualize, almost the same way it was hard for me in early sobriety to define what God or the universe or spirit meant. My entire life I'd worked hard to manage all the exiled parts, and I was unfamiliar with what it felt like to be in my resourced self, even though it was there all along. I accepted that the more aware I became of my resourced self, the easier it would be to support the other parts. Awareness was the beginning of establishing a healthy internal system. Part of the process was spending time just witnessing my parts. Whenever I felt triggered, I would return to the practice from chapter 2 and take a closer look at what part was acting out. Then I'd notice how a protector would sweep in to manage the deep-rooted feelings. Whenever I'd take a moment to pause and ask the protector to step aside, I could give my resource self permission to support the protectors and exiles. In Chapter 9, I will help you identify your resourced self so that you can begin the process of reparenting your internal family. For now, my goal is to help you recognize your protectors and help you thank them for the great service they have offered. While they may be extreme and uncomfortable, they have kept you safe. Recognizing and honoring these protector parts is the first step to helping them step aside. Thank your protectors. According to Richard Schwartz, there are no bad parts. Each part has an important role to play, and when they get out of their extreme roles, they become beneficial to us. As we become more aware of and comfortable with our parts, we can begin reorganizing our internal family system by learning to rely on the leader part, the self. Maya Angelou said, "Do the best you can until you know better. Then when you know better, do better." Your protector parts, while they may have played an extreme role, have done their best at keeping you from reliving painful experiences. They've worked tirelessly to keep you from becoming extremely overwhelmed by unresolved childhood experiences. They've protected you from facing old wounds that you may not have been safe enough or ready to accept at the moment. While your protectors have created challenges in your life, it's important to note that they have had a valuable role. Therefore, the goal isn't to shame your protector parts, but to befriend them and help them get out of their extreme role. For instance, as I've become more conscious of my protector parts, I can see when they are in extreme roles versus when they're actually doing a great job. On a recent work Zoom call, I noticed the controller part of me swoop in when I felt an outside vendor was taking advantage of my company. Typically, this part would freak out, yell, and try to fix the issue immediately. This time was different. Instead of freaking out, I took a signal from the controller part that I should speak up and with less emotion, simply ask for what I need. In this instance, my protector part did a beautiful job of taking charge without overreacting. With greater awareness of our protectors, we can learn to use them in a non-extreme way. One way to do so is by bringing conscious awareness to these parts. In doing so, you open up to a greater sense of self-compassion. For instance, when I'm working in my therapy to release the controller from playing such an extreme role, I'm still grateful for her. When she shows up, I know there is underlying fear lurking below the surface. But I can take a signal from the controller that I should speak up and ask for what I need. I can also call on that part of me when I'm getting ready for a big project, since that part of me is so good at getting things done. Once the controller is no longer so extreme, she can actually be an asset. Sometimes people think that if they change these parts of themselves, they will lose their edge. I have found that by having more awareness of my parts, they can be far more effective in my work and personal life. Understanding your protectors and their important role will help you forgive your addictive patterns. It was the best you could do at the time to survive. In my conversation with Russell Brand on his podcast Under the Skin, he shared a story with me that supported this thesis. In a period of his addiction recovery, his therapist suggested that he thank the part of him that was addicted, explaining that it had kept him safe from feeling extreme fear. Our addictive behavior doesn't make us horrible people. Instead, addictive protector parts can be seen as doing their best to keep us safe. Getting high on an intensely emotional relationship, numbing out with sex, drugs, food, or alcohol, or using work to avoid feelings are among some of the tactics for anesthetizing the exiled parts. Becoming abstinent from addictive patterns is only one step toward recovery. The true resolution begins with accepting that protectors were doing the best they could. Healing for these parts and their addictions comes through devotional therapeutic support, possibly 12-step recovery, and IFS therapy to gently address the exiles and the extreme protector roles. As a sober woman who's been treated with IFS, I highly recommend it to any addict. Gain access to an IFS therapist at deargabby.com/happyresources. I recognize as a recovering addict that living in an addictive state was destructive to me and to others, but today can forgive myself for the past by acknowledging the important role my addiction played in keeping me safe when I had no other resources to rely on. When addiction can be respected as a form of protection, we can forgive ourselves for the past. And that will clear space for healing in the present. IFS and spirituality. I found that practicing IFS strengthened my spiritual connection. In my spiritual teachings, I've taught that the love of God is always within us, but that each fear-based belief we build up from childhood separated us from that love. According to the metaphysical text, A Course in Miracles, a mere thought of fear separated us from the love of God, and that was the moment we forgot to laugh. This was the moment the Course calls the descent from magnitude into littleness. One fearful experience separated us from love, God, and that fear continues to grow. One fear-based thought builds upon the next, separating us from the presence of love, building up the ego belief systems of fear, scarcity, attack, judgment, guilt, shame, and so on. The ego works tirelessly to protect its identity and the beliefs in fear, judgment, and separation by projecting the fear of the past onto the present and into the future. The ego uses fear as a false sense of safety. To me, the ego represents the fragmented IFS parts of us that become so convinced of their fear stories that they take on their own personalities and qualities. We can release the ego and return to love when we become the non-judgmental witness of our fear and are willing to forgive our past. Forgiveness dismantles the wall of fearful beliefs that block the light and love of who we really are. Through the experience of forgiveness, fear dissolves and love is restored. IFS directly reflects the spiritual faith. In IFS, this is known as a sacred witnessing and honoring of every part. When we realize that our extreme behaviors are survival strategies rooted in past trauma, we become compassionate toward ourselves. The sacred act of witnessing this truth is a radical form of compassion that allows light to shine into the dark corners of our psyche. From a spiritual perspective, our true nature is God or love. In IFS, our true nature is self. To me, these are one and the same. When we live a spiritual life, we make the commitment to witness our ego and bring it to God for transformation. The same goes for IFS. Each time we witness a protector part, we clear space for self to step in and lead us back to our truth. A strengthened faith in God offers freedom from fear, the same way faith in self relieves us of the burdens of our extreme protector parts. When we forgive our fear, we're forgiving our protector parts for merely trying to keep us safe. Forgiving our protector parts for their extreme behavior allows us to remember the love of who we are. When protectors are seen through the lens of forgiveness, they are no longer something we must fight off, but instead a part of us that we can compassionately embrace. The more we lean toward God or self, the more we soften the edges of fear, lay down our protector parts, and return to love. IFS has led me to deepen my forgiveness practice. I was able to forgive my parts and thank them for their hard work. For years, I judged my protectors and couldn't even acknowledge my exiles. Today, with my newfound compassion and love for all of my parts, I can easily forgive myself in the moment, notice the part, and turn to my resourced self for support. Working with parts is a daily spiritual practice that has changed my life forever. Through prayer, we temporarily suspend our fears and allow our thoughts to be guided back to love. In the case of IFS, each time we acknowledge and honor our parts, it's like we are saying a prayer that welcomes the resourced self to show up and take the lead. I came to understand that my parts, in their extreme roles, had separated from love. By consciously connecting to my protector parts, I was praying for support from self. As time went on, I learned to rely on the self and always know where to turn for support and direction. The more I let self lead, the more I felt love surrounding me when an exiled child part arose. This is a spiritual practice. A prayer to connect to self. Place your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly. Take a deep breath in and release. Listen to this prayer. At this moment, I honor all of my parts and thank them for their service. With curiosity and compassion, I witness every part of me through the lens of love. I welcome the presence of my resourced self to take the lead and care for every part of me. Breathe into the feelings that arise from this prayer. Hold your heart as you breathe in and gently breathe out. For a moment, allow yourself to surrender any residual shame or blame towards your parts, and instead open your heart to witness them through the lens of love. The more I lean into my connection to the loving energy of self, the safer I feel. That love is a universal energy within every human. As I develop greater empathy for myself, I can more easily empathize with the wounded parts of others. I can see people in reactive states, and instead of judging them, I can honor their triggered parts. The same sacred witnessing that I offer to my protectors, I can now offer to others. Getting to know your protectors. I'm excited to introduce you to an IFS practice that you can do on your own to begin to connect to and honor your protectors. These practices are not intended to resolve any issues or replace any form of therapy. Perhaps you may find that these practices inspire you to further your journey with an IFS professional. What's here is designed to give you a greater awareness of your protectors, but not in any way touch on the exiles. Schwartz recommends that when you're first starting IFS without a therapist's guidance, it's best not to try to interact with the exiles. When an exile is triggered, it can be overwhelming and cause more feelings of insecurity. So please don't do any work with exiles unless you're in a therapeutic setting. To get in contact with a trained IFS therapist, visit deargabby.com/happyresources. Getting to know, honor, and respect your protector parts will give you a great sense of self-compassion and acceptance. Acknowledging your protectors is also how you can honor and respect your experiences from the past and the ways you've tried to numb out any suffering. As we embark on the next practice, please note that there may be a protector part of you that wants to resist the exercise for fear of unearthing impermissible emotions. I get it. You've spent a lot of time protecting yourself from feelings of shame, guilt, and frustration. Take a deep breath and know that our aim is just to get to know your protectors. They don't have to stop doing what they're doing. We just want to honor them and become aware of the ways they have kept you safe to this point. Be sure to go slowly with this practice to learn what your protectors have to say. Noticing your parts. This exercise is a gentle way to get to know one or more of your parts. If you're struggling emotionally, consult with your therapist or mental health care provider before you do this practice. Get out a journal or piece of paper and a writing utensil. Follow my guidance through this meditation to check in with your protectors. Gently close your eyes and notice any thoughts that may be present in this moment. You may become aware of many thoughts coming through. Take a moment to listen to your thoughts. As you do, notice which thought you feel you may want to focus on. Gently land on one of the thoughts that draws your focus. It doesn't matter which thought you land on. Land on the thought that feels like something you'd like to get to know better, or something you'd like to change. Get curious. What does the thought reveal about you? Notice any words, images, additional thoughts, body sensations, or strong emotional responses that come to mind. Now open your eyes and write down whatever you're noticing. You may feel called to describe your feelings, draw a picture, or write specific words. Take your time. Don't edit what you're writing. Write whatever comes to mind. When you feel complete in your writing, take a moment to read it over. Continue to notice any new sensations, thoughts, or emotions. Just notice. What do you hear? What is your writing saying to you? what information do you get from what you put onto the page? As you look closely, what part of you have you identified? Maybe give it a name. Notice how you feel toward it. What reaction do you have about it? As you notice that reaction, close your eyes and listen to what that reaction wants to reveal to you. Notice how that reaction makes you feel emotionally, physically, and mentally. Now open your eyes and write down what you noticed. Once again, let it all out onto the page. Now you've identified a second part. Look at the two parts to see if there is any relationship between them. Notice what comes up. No part operates in isolation. This is the beginning of noticing the relationship between parts. Journal about what you noticed about each individual part and what you noticed about their relationship to one another. Becoming aware of some of your parts is a useful practice in getting to know your internal landscape. The many benefits of IFS. Many of us go through life judging ourselves day after day. Years ago, one of my audience members got up and said to a crowd of strangers, "I hate myself so much, and I say it all day long. Just this morning, I tripped on the sidewalk and I called myself a fat piece of shit." The audience shifted uncomfortably when she said this. Not because it was so unbelievable, but because it was far too familiar. Many people thanked her for admitting publicly what they would be too ashamed to admit to themselves, that they too had thoughts like this. Her ability to voice this shameful thought temporarily allowed her to see this inner critic protector part with love and compassion. Getting to know, love, and proactively care for your parts can be the most loving relationship of your life. I've found many benefits to understanding and working with my parts. I can easily see myself and all of my parts with true compassion and acceptance. This practice can also help you more easily relate to the people you love and to others in your life. You'll be able to witness negative behavior as a protector managing a young, unhealed shadow that has lived in fear. The more you become aware of your own parts, the easier it will be to see this in others too. But I strongly suggest you don't start taking an inventory of those around you. When you listen to a book like this, you'll be tempted to detect the issues in others and want to confront them. This is especially true in intimate romantic relationships. It can be very difficult to coach or therapize a loved one. Do your best to keep your eyes on your own side of the road. Just stick to your own practice, shine your light, and be a force of inspiration for them. As soon as I developed an easily accessible relationship with my resourced self, I could invite self into any situation to calm down the protectors and the exiles and honor the family system. For example, I was able to witness the benefits of IFS when I was once again stuck in the same controlling pattern with my coworkers. Although this time I was able to compassionately witness my protector and let self take over. I was on a call with my team planning business development ideas for the upcoming year when I shared with them my frustration around how a project was being managed. I was met with some pushback. Statements like, "That's past us now, let's move on." Right away I noticed a protector part of me jump in to protect the exile that never felt acknowledged or understood. In this case, the protector part started fighting back and attempting to pull rank. My insistence on dwelling on the issue resulted in a heated debate and a wasted hour. Shortly after the call, I took a moment to notice the parts that had come to the meeting. I could clearly see how the protector part was running the conversation to protect the exiled child part from feeling dismissed. Then I asked my resource self for help. I asked her to help me repair the situation with my team, but first to repair the feelings with my internal family. I began to speak back to myself and befriend my protectors. "Gabby, it's totally understandable that their perceived dismissiveness would trigger you. Let's honor that. What would your child part want to say to them to make sure your feelings are acknowledged? Then I let my inner child respond. I want them to know that I just needed a minute to be seen and heard. I just wanted them to acknowledge me. As soon as I said those words out loud to myself, I was able to send an email to share how I felt and request that next time we take a minute to acknowledge my experience. This was a miraculous moment, not just because I was able to clearly communicate my desires, but because I was able to allow self to guide me to a place of safety and speak up for my needs. I let my resourced self create harmony. It may take time to connect to or even acknowledge your resourced self, as your protectors may still be in their extreme roles. But you've hopefully begun to consider your parts, to love them all, to thank them for the very important role they've played. These steps alone represent a radical act of acceptance and compassion. Let that sink in and relish in the feelings of relief. Bringing little Gabby back to safety. The IFS work I practice weekly with my therapist was finally setting in. I was becoming more comfortable recognizing and honoring little Gabby. My protectors had started to step aside and were no longer ready to pounce at any sign of threat. Without even realizing it, my parts were beginning to work together with my resourced self taking the lead. One night, it all fell into place. I was struggling to fall asleep, having watched the news close to bedtime instead of following my typical sleep hygiene routine. I started to feel anxious and lay awake in bed for over an hour. I became flooded with memories of the months I spent dealing with insomnia during the postpartum depression. Those memories activated me even more. My heart started to palpitate and my jaw clenched. To calm myself down, I closed my eyes and connected to my breath, breathing in for 2 strokes through my nose, out 1 stroke through my mouth, breathing in, breathing out. Then I thought to myself, who would I want to envision comforting me right now? Who could I go to? I thought of my husband, my friends, and my therapist, none of whom I thought could save me in that moment. Then out of nowhere, a vision came to me. I was holding my son in my arms, putting him to sleep. I saw myself gently swaying him back and forth, whispering prayers in his ear. Then the baby in my arms was no longer my son. It was me. I was lovingly rocking the baby version of myself. Within minutes, I was sound asleep. That one experience was a turning point in my personal recovery and growth. I can call on my resourced self to show up at any moment to soothe the protectors who want to stay in control of my emotions and nurture the exiles who need to be seen. I now understand what it means to let the self lead. The relationship to self is the most important relationship of my life. The more I strengthen my connection to the self, the more I live in harmony and love every part.